Hello, hello, and welcome to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson, a podcast about prioritizing passion. Each week, we cover topics in the personal development space, including things like money, finance, business, entrepreneurship, mindset, and seriously, whatever else I'm feeling extra passionate about that week. These conversations are meant to encourage you to prioritize your passion. Welcome to the party. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get into it. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I'm here with my usual co-host of KCB, but this is an extra special episode because we have a guest. Everyone's favorite, Jimmy Bowen, is a guest on the podcast this week. He is a business analyst in college athletics. So we talk about sports, we talk about numbers, we talk about personal development, career development, all those great things. We talk about those in the second half of the episode. And I'm just really happy to have him on. He is just a ray of sunshine. Wouldn't you say, Casey?
I'd say so. I've met him a couple times. He's a very stand-up fella.
So if you are new to the podcast, each week, Casey and I give our toasts and roast, our highs and lows of the week, and then we will transition into a personal development topic or an interview or something fun. So this week we have an interview and I'm just really excited about it. But before we get into that, we'll get into toast and roast. So Casey B, what is your toast of the week?
My toast of the week on Tuesday, I've been dealing with some tooth pain. Mm-hmm. And I went to the dentist and the tooth pain is gone now. So that is my highlight of the week.
Your highlight of the week is going to the dentist.
Well, just get my tooth fixed.
Most people hate the dentist.
I don't enjoy the dentist, but I enjoy not being in pain.
Well, duh. Yeah, I'm really happy that you got that fixed because that is just one of those things that there's nothing you can do to fix it. And I was like, do you want to eat some ice or chomp? You're like, no, that's going to make it worse. And do you want to, I don't know what to tell you.
Oh yeah. It was so, so bad, especially working outside in the cold air. And it's like, anytime I'd breathe with my mouth open and just like shooting pain and I'm happy it's taken care of.
And the worst part is it's hard to eat and you're a growing boy.
Yeah, I'm getting wider.
You want to hear my toast of the week?
I would love to.
So my toast of the week was yesterday I went on a lovely walk and I try to go on a walk every day, but I haven't been doing it as often. But I went on a walk and normally I'm always listening to podcasts and getting entertainment, comedy, whatever. And I decided to listen to music because I knew I just needed to calm down. And it was sprinkling down rain. And I was listening to Taylor Swift's new album, which is very like folksy music, like very just calming, and I was walking through the trees, like the forest, and listening to this calm music. And then on my walk back, it was raining pretty hard, but I love the rain, and I'm like, this is just so therapeutic and nice. I got back to the house and it was so calm, and I was just like, oh, what a nice calming moment of inner peace that I found in this crazy world. And then I get a call.
So we're rolling straight into the roast.
So we're going to roll straight into roast because you interrupted my calmness. And then that's my roast of the week.
Oh, you want me to take it?
Well, I'll take it. So you called and you were doing me a favor and checking the UPS box. And so I said, can you check the UPS box? And you said, sure. You call me and ask what the number is for the box and give it to you. And then you call back like,
A minute later.
And you say, so I locked the keys. No, you said, I'm having a bad day. I locked the keys out of the truck. So I need you to bring me the spare key.
Lock them in the truck.
I'm locked out of the truck. The keys are in the truck. And it's raining. And I'm like, oh no. And so I said, where is your spare key? And you said, well, it might be in the toolbox, or it might be in this cardboard box, or it might be here, or it might be there. And I was like, oh my gosh, if you have a spare key, you gotta know where it is.
Oh.
So that's roast one. You gotta know where the spare key is. That's the point of having a spare key.
Well, you found it.
Yeah, I found it. It was on the floor of the garage, which it could have been swept away by a rat and no one would have known.
We don't have rats in the garage.
We don't, but it could have been. Like, it was literally on the floor. It's not funny. And so I get it. And if you guys are new to the podcast, I get really bad anxiety driving. I'm trying to work through it, but you know, my car needs to get fixed recently, and so I just haven't been getting a lot of practice driving again, which sounds super lame. I know I should not be worried about this, but I do. And it was raining and it was getting dark. And it was that point where it's dark, everyone has their lights on, it's raining, and the roads are seriously a mirror everywhere. And so I'm trying to go. And where you were locked out of your truck was where in Gig Harbor, there is literally roundabouts surrounding this entire place. There's
so many roundabouts.
Five roundabouts to get there. I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Okay. But I got there, I got back fine. You know, another step in the right direction in my driving journey in my new car. But yeah, that was just, I was so calm and then so stressed in a matter of half an hour. It was a lot of emotions. So that was your roast too, getting locked out of the truck?
Yeah, that was my roast. Because yeah, I told you yesterday, it's like every time I get out of my truck, I always have my keys in my hand. I'm like, all right, so they're in my hand. This isn't something that I can just like go through the back window or anything like that, like I could in my old truck. And
how many times have you locked yourself out of the car? Multiple times. So many times.
Oh, man.
I can think of, you've had multiple cars since we've been together. I can think of in each car that you've had being locked out of them.
So this will be the third time only, really. But it's just always a bad sitch.
You know what would make it not a bad sitch? Is if you knew where your spare key was.
That would be nice.
Why don't you do the thing where people put it like magnetic on the vehicle?
It used to be there. And oh, so it's the fourth time. Because okay. I had to cut it off of the spot where it was at. And then.
And oh my gosh. So I also just remember that a long time ago, we did a podcast episode just roasting you about your keys. And how often you lose your keys. So you guys should go back and listen to that episode. It's pretty far back there, but it's called Keys Please is the name of the episode. And God, it honestly makes me angry thinking about it. And, you know, I can't really even complain that much because I don't drive. So I'm like,
You know exactly where your keys are.
Yeah,
in the same spot as they've been.
Because they don't move because no one drives the car. I know. Okay.
Oh.
Also, with my previous car, I had a spare key, but it was one of those spare keys where it only unlocks the door. It doesn't actually drive the car. And so, and that's all that I had the whole time I was in college. So, like, if I actually lost my key, it would have been a bad sitch. Oh. But anyways, the keys situation was the roast of the week.
Yeah, it was awful. I was so mad.
So our tip of the week is to know where your spare key is. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, know where it's at and hopefully you don't have to use it.
A little reminder, because I know both of us have had, I don't need it. I'll find it eventually. I'll find it at some point. I'll put it in a place that I remember at some point. And then you need it. And then it comes.
Well, I saw it when I was cleaning the garage like 2 weeks ago. And I was like, oh, I should probably put this somewhere.
Yep. Probably should have.
I mean, I feel like I put it like on top of the toolbox or something and then just knocked it off or something. I don't know.
I was looking through every drawer of the toolbox and then I said, oh, I found one. And it was a key for a different car. And I was like, oh my gosh, what if
car
it's
that
not
I
even,
don't even have?
I know. I was like, what if it's not even here anymore? Okay, people are tired of hearing about the keys. So we are going to get into the interview with Jimmy. Usually I recommend another podcast to listen to also. And, you know, this week I listened to one that was quite good. It was Jordan Lee Dooley's podcast. It's called The She Podcast. And her guest was, her name is Shannon. And they talked about social media and business. So if you're interested in social media, business, entrepreneurship, that is a great episode. The most recent episode of The She Podcast. I've been following both of them for so long. So to hear them together was really entertaining for me, but some people aren't interested in all that kind of businessy social media stuff. So if that's your jam, you'll love this episode. If not, you won't like it. So, but you are going to like this interview with Jimmy. Like I said, he is my coworker. We both work at the University of Washington in college athletics, and he helps me out all the time with Excel, with numbers, with organizing data, which kind of sounds boring. But you guys, there's a lot of people who work behind the scenes to make these cool sports events happen. And that's what me and Jimmy do. We work behind the scenes and we talk about like our best memories working in sports and his journey to get to Seattle, because he is from the East Coast. He's all the way over here now. And it's just a great little chat. So I hope you guys enjoy it and we'll be right back. One more thing I wanted to tell everyone about is on my website, pishposhpodcast.com, there is a shop small gift guide with a bunch of small businesses to get all of your Christmas holiday shopping done. And they all have online platforms that you can buy from. And this is the season to buy gifts for your loved ones. And it is the season, the year, the time to shop small. So I hope you guys check out that gift guide. It makes me really happy when people look at it and buy from it. And if you guys have any more suggestions to add to the list, just send me a DM and I will add them to the list. All right, here's Jimmy. Alrighty, welcome to the podcast, Jimmy Bowen, everyone's favorite coworker. He is a business data analyst. He's a sports fan. He's a little bit of everything and everyone loves him. So I am so happy to have you on the pod, Jimmy.
Thanks, Lindsay. I'm so pumped to be here.
Yay. Okay. So introduce yourself, tell everyone kind of where you're from, what you do. What's your technically your job title and anything else you want to share with us?
Yeah. So where am I from? I grew up in the countryside of Maryland, which is all the way across the country, very far from Seattle. I went to school at Penn State University. And so a lot of my friends out here in Seattle think I'm from Pennsylvania, not from Maryland. And I actually always grew up a diehard Seattle sports fan, even though I had never been to Seattle. I had no connection to the city, didn't know anyone.
That's so random.
It is so random. But as a kid, like Ken Griffey Jr. was the man. He was like the guy of the 90s. Right when I was old enough to follow sports, the Seattle Supersonics made the NBA Finals. That was, I think, like the 96 year. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to follow the Seattle Seahawks. They have really pretty colors. I like their logo. And so having never been to Seattle, I grew up a diehard Seattle sports fan in Maryland. And so when college ended and it was time to like figure out what to do with my life, I basically decided to move across the country out here to Seattle. And I've been here ever since. After a couple years interning and having a couple positions here at UW, I'm currently a sports business analyst. That's a fancy way of saying that I crunch numbers and cross my fingers that they're right. And my goal is to help our decision makers make better informed decisions.
Yes, yes. I've talked on the podcast a little bit about how I'm really interested in statistics and all this stuff. And Jimmy is, I guess I should have said, you're an Excel genius, and you won't accept that compliment probably, but it is crazy the things that you do on the spreadsheets and what you make the numbers do.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. That's probably the one compliment I will accept. I love Excel, and there's I think so many people could be so like better suited with just, you know, an hour or two worth of Excel classes.
Yeah, for sure. And you've taught some Excel classes to other people in the department just for just career, personal development, like just good things to know. And it's just so awesome. We'll get into more of kind of our career development, personal development stuff, because Jimmy is in staff council for our whole entire staff, which is a pretty large staff, and everyone knows him and everyone loves him. And I think that is an important piece of why I wanted to have you on the podcast as well. But how did you get to your current career position, because I've heard bits and pieces of it, but I actually haven't heard the whole story. And so tell us how you got from Penn State to Seattle and how you, I know it's just interesting. So I'll probably stop you partway.
So when I was at Penn State, I was a manager for the Penn State basketball team. And, you know, there's all sorts of non-glamorous things with that job, like wiping up sweat and bringing Gatorade to people. But I got to be involved with some really cool little like data projects for the team that our coaching staff would use. And they're relatively minor. Some had to do with our scheduling, which I was really proud of. And so when I, so after Penn State, I applied to graduate school at the University of Washington. I got in, I moved out here, and my first year as an intern, I was really, really lucky to be involved with a couple little projects that were kind of similar in scope of what I had done with the Penn State basketball team. So it kind of prepared me to like know how to like research a project, put it together in a presentation, present it, et cetera. And so my first year interning at UW, probably the coolest, biggest project that I got to do is I helped run the Husky Stadium memorabilia sale. That's when our team was moving out of Husky Stadium so that they could demolish it and rebuild it. And for some reason, they put me in charge of like inventorying everything we could possibly sell, how to put it on a website, how to sell it to fans, et cetera. And we made like $60,000 from it. Anyways, that's a long way of saying in that project, I got really close with a mentor that I met. Her name was Stephanie Remp. She was the SWA for UW Athletics. That basically means she was, you know, kind of second or third, you know, kind of in that top realm of in chargeness. And so she became my mentor. My first job at UW was as the director of operations for the UW volleyball and the UW gymnastics team. I'd never seen a volleyball game or a gymnastics meet. You know, I didn't know how to keep score in those sort of things. And while it was super fun, I loved every second of working with those teams. I was still doing these side projects for Stephanie Rem. You know, she worked over in administration in our athletic department. And some were projects for the Pac-12, some were Title IX related. And whenever she needed something to be like researched, packaged up and presented, she would come to me, even though that wasn't my job at the time. And so after 4 years with the UW volleyball and gymnastics teams, I felt myself like kind of ready for a new position. I used to always think it was really cliche when people were like, you'll know when you're not growing anymore and when it's time to move on. I'm like, how do you feel that? I'd never felt that before, but I did feel that. I told Stephanie that I'd be, you know, applying for some other jobs. Just, I think it's important to keep people in the loop on that. And the next day she called back and said, we're going to make a position for you here. We don't know what it's going to look like, but you're just going to do special projects for me and anything that comes up. So I was really stoked for that. I got to do all sorts of little data projects. Some are salary based for coaches. Some are just benchmarking on where our team stands compared to all of our Pac-12 peers. Stephanie left within like 4 months of hiring me. And so I was really lucky. My current supervisor, Kate Cullen, kind of picked up the process of assigning me projects. And that's kind of where I'm at today, just working on special projects whenever they come up.
That is so interesting. So I have a couple follow-up questions. First of all, what were your degrees in for undergrad and then grad school? Because that's interesting to me.
So undergrad, I double majored in journalism and hotel and restaurant management.
What? Jimmy, what?
Those two things
have nothing to do with
data. They have nothing to do with each other. They have nothing to do with what I'm doing now. Journalism is awesome, but it's such an easy major at Penn State that you actually have to have a minor. I couldn't find anything I wanted to minor in. Just found another interesting sounding major. But yeah, I was terrible at like accounting and finance classes that we took. But at the end of the day, journalism teaches you how to present, whether it's broadcast journalism or print. Hotel and restaurant management teaches you how to serve people at the end of the day. And so I think in a way, my ability to, you know, present data so that we can make better decisions. Hopefully it's somehow linked in that. Maybe that's a stretch. I don't know. But out here at UW, my grad school degree is in intercollegiate athletic leadership. It's kind of a fancy way of saying sports management. But that's definitely a little more aligned with what I'm doing now.
Absolutely. Absolutely more aligned. I think hotel management, everyone who does that really, I think it depends on the program, but a lot of people in those programs get a lot of boots on the ground, like hands-on experience in like a real workplace and how to manage people. I kind of relate it to sports management a little bit. Where I went to school, we had our own sport management program, but we had to take business classes as well. And some of those overlapped with the hospitality group. And I just, I see the similarities a little bit in that.
That's actually but I'm a really just so great surprised. Call.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never made that comparison before, but that totally clicks as you say that.
Yeah. It's really managing people and managing businesses as well. So
yeah.
I really can see that, but I am shocked that you were not in accounting major or finance or business, like, and now you're, that's literally what you do. You work in finance, really, like.
Yep. I'd say at the end of the day, my weakness in my current job is I don't know like the coding and like, you know, some people know SQL and R and Python, and I'm really weak in those areas. Where I think I make up for it is hopefully like I try really hard for us to find low hanging fruit of where we can essentially make more money or save money. And I think you should be really, really good at harvesting the low-hanging fruit. Meaning if you can just like dominate that low-hanging fruit, eventually you'll work your way up the tree to some of those like, you know, really nice apples at the top. But I think there's people who have such a background in like numbers and coding that maybe they just go to the top of the tree and their business or organization isn't ready for that or built for that. Where I think if we can do like logical, simple steps to make more money or save money, that's where I like to spend my time.
Yeah, the data is in everything that we do in sports. I mean, statistics are everywhere, the financials are everywhere, and we just have to know what to do with that information. So, in my understanding, that's basically what you do every day, is kind of just organize all of the information. But do you have any kind of way, if you're going to tell somebody randomly, like, what do you actually do in a day?
Yep. Gosh.
That I feel one, like it's a hard question.
That one is really hard for me. When it comes to, can we talk about a typical fall day instead of a 2020 fall day?
Absolutely. Not this year.
Yeah, so let's pretend it's 2019. We have a football game coming up this weekend, and we still have tickets to sell, and we still have money we want to make to hit our revenue goals. So there's two things that I'll be working on with our ticket office people throughout the week. One of them is managing our inventory. You know, it's a very basic supply and demand thing that we want to make sure that there's not like an abundance of tickets out there. If we're too short on tickets, then we want to see like, are there any tickets that are being held back for some reason that we can open up? So there's inventory management. But then the one that I like a lot more is dynamic pricing. And so what we do there is we have data come in from StubHub, where people can go and buy tickets and sell tickets for whatever price they want. And we'll use that data to determine how we should reprice our tickets. And sometimes we raise prices, sometimes we lower prices. And so I'd say in a typical fall day, like that's the sort of thing that that's probably the most common thing that I'm looking at. But of course there's like millions of other things that come up too, but
Yeah, I think with the dynamic pricing, with people who are not as embedded with it as we are, it seems almost like, you know, a dirty thing. Like when the people who go, you want to buy tickets to a concert and then somebody like buys all of them and then you go, you're there like a minute late and they're like, there's no tickets available. But that's not what it's like. It's more just when you think about it, you know, a ticket for the Super Bowl is going to cost more than a ticket to a preseason game. Like, it's yep. really not as dirty as it sounds, but it just...
For yeah. sure. Lindsay, the thing I'll add to that I'm actually really proud of that we do here is the tickets in our value corner. Like, those are intentionally priced. Like, we know we could sell those tickets for more, but we keep certain tickets at a certain price level just to make sure that, you know, anyone, you know, from any demographic can still come to a Husky game. So yeah, we try not to like gouge or take advantage of things. You know, sometimes we have to play the market trends, but sometimes the trends go down and we'll lower prices as well.
Have you heard about how the Seattle Sounders intentionally had put season tickets in? God, I'm going to sound terrible because I'm not a big soccer guy, but like, you know, behind the goals, that area where all the fans are, intentionally kept those at a lower price as well, because they wanted those rowdy fans there rather than all of, you know, maybe the rich, boring people, I guess you could say. But have you heard anything about that? Or
I could see what they were going for there for sure.
Yeah, that's I know there's a book about the Seattle Sounders and their whole coming of, I don't know how to say it, but you know, so I really need to read that one. But so another thing that you do, like I mentioned, is you are on staff council and you really bring a lot of people from our staff who is kind of actually divided because there's so many people doing so many different things. There's people working with individual sports teams. There's people working with their ticket group over here. There's people working in marketing and some strength and conditioning. Like, I would never really run into somebody who works directly with the golf team because I work in the ticket office. So one, what do you love about being in staff council and kind of like bringing people together like that? And also, if you want to talk about anything that has been kind of your favorite experience or favorite thing, that event, whatever that you enjoy with that.
You know, it was really fun to get more involved with staff council stuff over the past couple years. And kind of like what you're saying, the goal of the staff council is to make people's work life better. We want to make your life better when you're here at work. We want you to feel more connected to your coworkers or feel more enriched with some of the workshops that we do. And we had heard over and over that people wanted to meet other people outside of their unit, just as you were saying, but it's really awkward to go up to someone and say, like, do you want to be my friend? Or like, hey man, or hey gal, what's up? And so, yeah, I've absolutely loved, you know, trying to put together these events where people can get to know each other. It's definitely a little more awkward over Zoom. Like the last few months, you know, some people are Zoomed out, some aren't. I still love the challenge. But yeah, when we're there in person, it's really fun to kind of see people from two units who you think would be friends and kind of like put them on the same cornhole team and just watch it go. So that's been great. What was your second question? Do you mind repeating that?
Well, it's kind of been one of your favorite events. I know you mentioned cornhole, but besides our holiday parties, which
the holiday party
fun,
last year was so much fun.
Maybe a more like, and we do actually some educational personal development. There's been cooking classes, and I just think it's so fun that you don't have to be involved in all of them. Even if somebody does like one or two a year, it's shown me that I become like much more connected with people than just if I didn't do it at all. I would just be just me and my two guy coworkers, and we'd just be this little trio who doesn't talk to anyone.
The best feeling, no matter what event it is when you get that like one email afterwards, it says like, hey, I really love that. It came at the perfect time for me. Thanks so much for putting it together. And just getting one email like that makes the whole event worth it. One that stands out actually was the self-defense class that we did.
Fun.
there was a pretty good turnout for that, but it was people who normally, you know, that some of them weren't as involved with other staff council things before. And so it was really cool to see some new faces. I think for people who showed up, it was something that was important to them and something that had probably been on their mind previously. So that made it a little bit more special to me, that it felt like we were providing people with something that they probably wanted to do for a while, but just didn't know how to do. And then all they have to do is walk over at lunchtime and get a self-defense class. So that's what I like. But gosh, the holiday party last year was still probably my favorite.
Well, I don't know if I guess that counts, but the self-defense class was fun. One that really stands out to me, and I actually can't remember if you were there or not, but we had somebody come, and I think Amy facilitated it, and it had to do with diversity and describing ourselves in 10 words. Were you there for that one?
I don't think so. I think that was one of the few that I missed.
So it was just really interesting, and it was a really small group, and sometimes just I think something that you encourage and I would definitely encourage as well is it is so nice to, like, it's hard to get out of your comfort zone, but it's so nice to just have these moments of connection with other people. And even if your event only has like 5 people come to it, then it's still like, it's really special to those 5 people. Like, it does make a difference, even though it seems like, oh, this was a failure. There's only 5 people here instead of, you know, 50. But
I really still appreciate enjoy you saying those. That. Thank you.
You're welcome. Speaking of kind of with the staff council, we do some fun stuff. We do professional development, personal development, all that kind of stuff. I also know that you are a guy who actually likes to read books. And everyone knows on my podcast, I'm always telling people to read more. So I wanted to know if you had any influential books that you wanted to share with everyone.
Yeah, I have one influential book, but the thing I'll preface this with is I've become such a big believer that you just need to read about something that you're passionate about in that moment. I just bought a book on the life of Alexander Hamilton. It is 700 pages long. Because I watched Hamilton and because I listen to the soundtrack every day, and I can't get enough of it. So I bought this long book that I don't know if I'll ever finish, but I'm so excited to dive into it. Mm-hmm. I've read books on handwriting analysis or like the psychology of traffic in design. And so my point is, I think you learn so much better when it's something that you're really passionate about. There's a lot of self-improvement books out there. I think it's super easy to read the first 2 chapters and be like, okay, I get it, I'm done.
Yep.
The one that I couldn't put down, it's called Atomic Habits. It's by James Clear, I think that's his name. And the way that he wrote this book made it so simple and easy to digest. And I didn't want to put it down after 2 chapters. It basically talks about like all the little ways you can trick yourself into having great habits, which then will have like an exponential impact, you know? And so Atomic Habits is one that I really loved. And yeah, that's my recommendation.
Thank you.
Read about what you're passionate about, because
right.
That's when you'll really, really learn and remember it for the long term.
Yeah. And I totally understand when people say, I don't like personal development books or self-help books. They're just annoying. They all say the same thing. It's fluff, whatever. But yeah. I enjoy them. Not all the time, though. I mean, I've been reading a lot of mysteries and thrillers right now. So
I think it's so important to mix it up, too.
Yes. Yes. If you're the beginning of this year, I recently wrote down all the books I was reading. But at the beginning, I was reading all personal development books. And I was like, oh, my God, no wonder I got burnt out on those. I was like 10 yeah. in a row.
That's so great that you recognize that.
So I want to know what advice you have for people who are kind of interested in your field, because I think it's very interesting that you kind of got to where you are in an unconventional way, but yep. you still might have advice that is kind of unconventional as well, or maybe it's conventional. I don't know yep. what it's going to be.
Yeah. So if people want to get into sports analytics or be like a data analyst or that sort of thing, I think it's really important to learn some of the basic programs that you would use. I use Tableau very frequently. It's located, it's headquartered here in Seattle. I think learning some very basic but important things in Excel are really good. I wish I had the patience to take a class on Python or R or SQL. I'm like kind of just self-taught in those things. I'm really jealous when like our coworker Alan is is taking these classes. And I'm like, gosh, I wish I would sit down and learn more. But my number one piece of advice, very similar to the book advice, I think you learn best when you work on passion projects. Mm-hmm. And most of the things that I've learned how to do, most of the coding that I've learned is by making like my fantasy football record book in Excel and then like visualizing it in Tableau. And then I'll make these little videos for people in my league about, you know, just the statistics and history of our league. But I've learned so many like formulas through that process that then I use in work. And I've learned how to like make something as pretty and beautiful as a data visualization can be, that then I apply to things in work. And so I've really found that when I've gone on these passion projects, that's when I've learned a lot more and that's prepared me to be better. So I feel like that's weak advice overall.
I don't think so because a lot of the stuff that I've learned how to do, like I enjoy things on website design. I'm not very good at it, but I still like to play around with it. But it's all been stuff for me. And yep. I think you actually can actually learn a lot, whether it's learning coding, whether it's learning spreadsheets, whether it's learning social media tricks. Like there's so much out there. But you also said you are kind of self-taught on a couple of things. How did you find some of those resources to become self-taught?
Yeah, it's just YouTube and Google over and over and over. I'm such a visual learner that I know what I want to do. I'll type into YouTube, like, how do I blah, blah, blah. And then I'll watch someone do it. And then, boom, then I know how to do it from there on out. I call it YouTube University. And it's just trying to type in my questions there and in Google. And I've picked up like a coding book or two, but the majority of what I learn is YouTube and Google.
I love that advice, even though it's like so general, but it's just, you just got to do it. And I like that you said, just apply it to things that you're using outside of work, like fantasy football or whatever. Yeah. Fun stuff.
I thought of one last thing that I think is really important.
Okay.
I do think the ability to present information is very underrated. Again, like I said, there's so many people who know more about R and Python and all this coding than me. But I think the fact that I don't know all the fancy words almost helps me when I'm talking with our exec staff, because I have to say it in a simple way. It's the only way I know how to say it is in a simple way, but it's the way that they'll be able to best digest the information. And so a lot of people try to use all these big fancy buzzwords in analytics. And I'm like, gosh, our job is the opposite. We're supposed to dumb things down so that people know what to do. And so I think understanding that and understanding the ability to present something very simply, I think is very important.
I think that is great advice for almost any field, because you can get so into what you know about your particular field, whether it's like you're saying these words that people will not know what you're talking about when you say Python, and maybe people will know SQL, but it's like just deep down coding, crazy computer nerd stuff. But it's like, if you're talking to somebody who is not in finance, but you need to tell them like, this is the trend, like they're not going to care how about your SQL code. They're going to care about what does it mean for me? And it can be applied to, you know, tickets. It can be applied to really anything, because people can get really deep down into what they know, but being able to explain it, so important.
Totally.
So what you and I do is kind of not very glamorous in the sports world, you could say, especially right now. Nothing's very glamorous in the sports world. I think a lot of people think about working in sports and they're like, wow, so cool, you get to like talk to the players and the coaches and TV and the lights and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we're very behind the scenes, you even more so than I, but I want to know, you were also kind of in deep with it when you were doing operations for volleyball and gymnastics. What were some of the best memories that you had working in sports? It can be from any of your time working in sports.
Yeah, it's so fun to be in the locker room after like a really special moment. One that comes to mind, it was my senior year at Penn State. We had not made March Madness. We hadn't made the NCAA basketball tournament in 10 years. Penn State has not made it in the 10 years since my senior year. And with like 2 weeks left in the season, we weren't looking too hot. Then we like won a game, and then we won another game and another game. And on the day that they announced the teams for March Madness, we actually had a game that day. It was Selection Sunday. We lost to Ohio State, and the selection show started like 30 minutes later. So we didn't have time to fly home from Indianapolis to Pennsylvania. We had to like shower really quick, shuffle over into this other room and watch the selection show live. And it was like the most tense room you could imagine in your life, because we are like as on the bubble as a team can be. And the selection show starts, and Clemson made it, and they were not supposed to. So we're like really down in the dumps. About 10 minutes later, they flash Penn State Nittany Lions on the screen. It was the best celebration in that room you could imagine. The rest of that day is a blur, like the flight home. Like, I don't even remember if I slept that night. It was like the best feeling ever. I've had a couple similar feelings with the UW volleyball team. One is when we battled back from like the most unlikely deficit you could imagine to beat a really, really good team on their home floor. And with that win, we advanced to the Final Four, which was located in Seattle. So it was like all of this magical things, like a tough win on the road to play in the Final Four in front of your home fans. And same thing, the celebration in the locker room, like the, you know, the flight home, everything was just a happy blur. So yeah, I'd say those are two of the most like joyful feelings. I made a list of favorite sports memories that I'll type up at some point, but those were definitely two of the best I've ever had.
That's so great. And it's kind of interesting because both of those came from when you, well, first one, you were just a manager working for Penn State, right? You're basically your undergrad, and you get to have that amazing memory. And then as in being in operations, like, it's not the most glamorous job in the world. Like you said, like you're wiping up sweat, and then you also get to have that exhilaration from like, oh my God, we're March Madness. Like
it was just so, I still get the biggest smiles thinking about some of those moments.
Right. And then just now sometimes we forget about how crazy those big, good feelings feel, I think, in how we're at right now, because we're just all working from home and we're all looking at numbers and downward trends.
I just hope that there's, you know, that there definitely is light at the end of the tunnel. I have a feeling that like the next like Husky football game I go to, I'll be like pretty emotional, because it'll be the first one in, you know, at least a year. So knowing how great it will feel to be back in the arenas and the stadiums, that's something I try to remind myself of when I get down in the dumps about, you know, just kind of the current state right now.
Yeah. I mean, I get more emotional about sports than I do activities of my own actual real life. So I know like next time I am at a, like a football game and the anthem is playing, like I cry normally. So next time it's like after a whole year, I'm just going to be like sobbing probably.
I love it. I think that's awesome though. I really think it's cool to, the emotion of sports is one of the best parts of it.
Yes. So what do you I have one more question, I think, before we wrap it up. And I wanted to know something that kind of made you feel successful in your career journey, because I had no idea that this like whole position was created for you. I think that's really amazing because it just shows how much of a value you are. But whether it is kind of one of those memories of like a big, just being a part of a sports victory or anything like that, just something that's made you feel like, yes, I feel great about this, because,
you know, yes, some of the best feelings I've had have actually come when I've gotten to work with Jen Cohen, our athletic director. You know, there's been a couple presentations that she's had to give, you know, to the school president or the regents or some big deal presentations. In the sound, I have such a small role in it, but she trusts me to help her design and build some of these PowerPoints every once in a while. I'm just taking notes on what she's saying and then, you know, putting it on the screen. But It honestly, she's so fun to work with. And the fact that she chose me as someone that can kind of put her words into a presentation, that's something that is, you know, definitely been a rewarding experience when it's come up. But again, just to clarify, I'm not coming up with the content. I'm just kind of I'm helping her get her thoughts onto a page, and then she helps make the edits. But I've always really enjoyed that because it makes me feel like, you know, she could choose anyone, and she chose me for some of those.
Yes, no, I know what you're saying. I think everyone, just even anyone, feels blessed to just hear her speak. So yeah. I'm happy to be in the same room with her ever, or on a Zoom with her.
I agree. Like, all the great things that
pour into me. Give me all the good information.
Right. We read all these articles about her that say all these great things, and they're so true. It's not just a PR stunt or whatever. Like, she's really great.
Is there anything that you want to end off with? Any feelings of positivity? I know, once again, you are so humble, but really everyone does think of you as just the positive guy around, like the ray of sunshine of the whole department. So give us something to smile about.
I really appreciate that. Something to smile about is I'll just say the first thing that's come into my head. I love being around other people. I've noticed that so much over the past month or two. I appreciate the line about a ray of sunshine. That's not how I am like all day when I'm sitting here by myself. But whenever I get on a Zoom call, I'm just so excited to see other people. I hope other people are like that too. I think that, you know, we've definitely enjoyed a slower pace of life during the past couple months, but I think everyone just really realizes the value of like a community and other people and that sort of thing. So I appreciate, you know, that's my optimism, is how excited I get when I see other people.
Yes, that's great. And if anyone is wanting to know more about data analytics and sports business and all that kind of stuff, would you be open to them sending you a DM or anything? Cool. I'll put Jimmy's info, just his Instagram handle or something like that, in the show notes. But I am so happy that you were on to share your story about your path to your current career and some great moments throughout that journey, because I just love working with you, and I love hearing about how people got to where they are. And I especially love when it's kind of unconventional, like you. I think you, I don't know if you believe in manifestation and stuff, but you obviously, like, things were meant to be. Being a little Seattle fan when you're a little kid, and then being here and following your dream is just amazing.
I really appreciate that, Lindsay. The last line I'll leave you with is, I love the quote, bloom where you're planted. Which means just try to shine or grow or do as much as you can, no matter where you are. When you say an unconventional path, I think the reason that that's happened is I've just tried to do the best job I could, no matter where I was, and hopefully it gets me to an even better place by doing that.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I know that people are going to love this. People are going to love listening to you and all about what you do and how you got there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Lindsay.
Thanks, Jimmy.
All righty. I hope you guys all enjoyed that conversation with Jimmy. I was so glad to have him on the podcast, and I hope you guys all enjoyed what he had to share with all of us. So if you have any questions about what he does or working in sports in general, feel free to either reach out to me or to Jimmy. Like I said, his information will be in the show notes. And if you really enjoyed this one, share it on social media, tag us at Pish Posh Pod, or, you know, you can do whatever you want to do to share this. Word of mouth is great too, but we love when people share the episodes, because that is how more people find this great podcast. That is how I have found so many podcasts that I have become a regular listener to. So thank you so much if you've made it to the end here. And if this was your first Pish Posh podcast, welcome to the party. If this is one of your many Pish Posh podcasts, thank you for being a loyal listener. So glad to have you. And we'll be back next week on Black Friday. And until then, have a happy Thanksgiving and party on.
you for listening to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. You can listen to the podcast and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, listen on Spotify and wherever podcasts are found, and follow the pod on Instagram at Pish Posh Pod to stay up to date on all of our great content. Check it out.